shadow of the love that floods my soul. I must confess, I can't express feelings deep inside me, the things I know and cannot show. One day will overflow.
I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is calling glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away.
I'll pass the clouds and shout so loud it may sound like thunder. My tearful eyes will fill the skies till it looks like rain. As I leave this world, past the gates of pearl, stand before my Savior, I'll let my soul let the glory roll, and from the roll He calls my name.
I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory.
Let's please turn to page 228. 228, He Hideth My Soul. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand.
Let's sing the second and then the last.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He hideth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand.
On the last.
When clothed in His brightness, transported I rise to meet Him in clouds in the sky. His perfect salvation, His wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my life in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. and covers me there with his hand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thankful for the protection of the Lord's love. Protection that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. So good to be here with you all today. I was out of town all week, and oh my, it was sure nice to see the house on Friday evening. And it's exceptionally nice to see you all this morning. Trust the Lord's going to give us a great time together. Looking forward to the fellowship around the table to come in a little bit. And afternoon service, be good. Looking forward to all that. Hopefully a little extra music in the afternoon service, and we have a lot of fun. And again, as always, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We might magnify and lift up the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, church family, we're going to take a couple minutes and welcome each other. Please get around and welcome our visitors as well. Let them know you're glad they're here.
As you return back to your seats, let's also turn over to page 185. 185. Let's sing the first and last verse.
Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy rib inside which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power.
You know what? That's too good to do just two verses. Let's sing the second one as well. On the second.
Not of labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone.
On the fourth.
While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Please be seated. Please stand with us once more. Let's turn our hymn books to page 285. 285. What a fellowship.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
On the last.
What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. With my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Please be seated.
Well, amen. Brother Curtis and Sister Teresa had to make another family trip to Mississippi, so please pray for them. They will be trying to get home by this evening. Pray for the Lord's mercy and safety along the way. And well, we got a great day planned here. Potluck luncheon. Well, I don't know. That's kind of a misnomer, isn't it? I don't believe in luck, and I'm not on pot. So, but I do know this. There's going to be a whole lot of good food in the back in a little while. And so, as it says, everyone is welcome to stay and enjoy good food and fellowship. And then we'll have afternoon service back in here. And so please be ready for that. We usually have some extra. Where'd Brother John disappear to? Maybe he had to. Well, it's okay. He might have had to go to the back. Brother John will be, if you would like to have a special or something during the afternoon service, please see him during lunch, and he'll get you set up. I usually arrange for someone else to do the preaching on these days so that I can enjoy the food. And then I don't have the food talking to me while I'm preaching in the afternoon. And so we're going to have a special speaker this afternoon. Aiden Sims is going to speak for us this afternoon, so I'm looking forward to that. Please pray for him. As you see, men's breakfast is coming up this Saturday, and that's 9 a.m., and there's a thank you note there from Jacob and Deva. We're so thankful for the Lord's mercy. Brother Jacob, he's looking so good, and I was told, make him shake with his left hand. And so I walked up, and I had to remember. And so I shook with both hands, but he's getting that grip back in the left hand, and that's a blessing. So continue to pray for Brother Jacob. We're so thankful for the Lord's mercy there. And then the Ladies' Spring Banquet is coming up May 11th, 6:50 p.m. And you see, there is a charge for that. It's catered this year, and grateful for that. Actually, the men will be happy for that. It's less work for us when it comes to setting up and everything. And the caterer is a terrific caterer, and I'm sure it's going to be worth every bit of that as they take care of the expenses of the banquet. Girls 10 and under are free. And please sign. If you have any question about how all this spring ladies banquet works, talk to one of the ladies that have been around here, or talk to my dear wife, and she'll explain all that. They have different ladies decorate a table, and that gets real pretty back there, and we enjoy that. But also, please sign up, and I was given the instruction, get your money in, because they got to pay that caterer. So please be mindful of all that. You can see my wife again if you would like to host a table and be part of that. I didn't ask the men to come and get ready for the offering. They are ready, but as they come, we're grateful for the opportunity to worship the Lord in our giving as well. The scriptures say so much about sacrificial giving to the glory of God, to see Him, to see His work go forward, to get keep these lights on and enjoy the air conditioning. Guess what? All that costs money. The preacher likes to eat, and so you got to feed him and all those expenses that go along with the day-to-day operations of Metropolitan Baptist Church. And beyond that, as we give in our Faith Promise Missions program, we have the opportunity to take part in seeing the gospel taken to the uttermost parts of the earth. We need to be, as I often say, we need to be doing everything we can to reach the world, but also doing everything we can to reach Fort Worth, Texas. So please, pray. You give as the Lord directs, and I know it'll all be taken care of. Father, we bow before you once again, asking you to bless this part of the service. We're asking you to do tremendous things through Metropolitan Baptist Church. Indeed, as we just mentioned, Father, our desire is to reach this community, this city for Christ, to hold up the Savior, our great Savior, the Lord Jesus. And so we pray that you'd enable us to give generously. And we know that as we give and give according to your blessing to us, then you will indeed use it for your glory. We pray for wisdom, that even as a church we would have your perfect direction in exactly doing right concerning the operation of this ministry. We love you, Lord, thanking you today and every day for your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you as you give.
Times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. Jesus, life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Thank you.
Sometimes the sky seems dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven off, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problems. Just go to Him in prayer.
It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Amen. Well, you can be turning to John chapter 13. Gospel of John in chapter 13. So often we deal with those trials. They do seem so big when we're in the midst of them. Seem overwhelming and overshadowing so many times. But as large and as great and overwhelming as they seem now, the incomparable presence of Christ, and we see His face, will diminish them so that they'll be insignificant in light of His great glory. Amen. Thank you for that song today. As we find our place there in John chapter 13, please stand with me. This morning's message, we're going to look at subject I think we continually need to be reminded of, encouraged in, challenged about: biblical love. John chapter 13, we'll begin reading in verse 34, where it says, "A new commandment I have given unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this love that you have for each other, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." Our theme of the year is following Jesus. The world will know you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ by your love for each other. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Our Father, once again, we bow before you and acknowledging, Father, we need you this day. We need your help. We need your strength. We need you to enter in, take absolute, complete charge of what's going on in this hour. Lord, I'm asking you that you'd loosen a stammering tongue. Give clarity of thought and understanding, not just for the preacher, but for every one of us. Arrest our attention. We focused upon you, upon your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, Father, would you do eternal things in our midst here today? Lord, I don't know the hearts and lives of all that are here. I'm praying you who do know our hearts, do know everything about us, that you would magnify and lift up your Son. And for those that need to be saved today, those that need Jesus Christ as their Savior, would you be pleased to draw them beautifully, savingly to yourself today? And help every one of us, Father, to learn love from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. And amen, of course, you may be seated. This whole matter, this whole subject of love for God and even love for man, love for each other, is a fleeting task, to say the least, a fleeting task that I have ever attempted to live and to teach. We deal with it. I think many independent Baptists are often afraid to preach or to teach on love for fear someone might think they're charismatic or something, maybe ecumenical or who knows what. We desperately need more love, not less, in our lives. Need to be more loving, not less loving, in our lives and in our homes and in our churches. And beyond our churches, in our communities. You know, folks will visit Metropolitan Baptist Church and either rightly or maybe wrongly receive a perception of whether we're a loving church or not. A loving church or if we are not. It's rather amusing that as a pastor, I've actually had this happen to me. As a pastor, I'll hear in the very same week, one person will exclaim, "Oh my, your church is such a loving church." And sometimes before the day is done, I'll have someone say, "Oh my, I just don't sense any love there." Well, the Lord knows all about those things. The important thing is that we strive to be to the best of our ability in Christ, because of my ability, greatly lacking, but that we'd strive to the best our ability in Christ to manifest the kind of love that would please our God, that would honor our God, and would I add, that would emulate Him and His love. His love. Wow. We learn. We learn about love, and we learn about true love from the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to understand how God defines love, study Jesus. Make Jesus your study. We'd often turn to 1 Corinthians 13, and we're really not going to do that. We'll refer a little bit to that chapter, but certainly that chapter describes the Lord Jesus Christ's love. Jesus is the personification. He's the very person that is described in those words. Why? Why do we love? Why do we love? And there is that, in that sense, a natural love. A natural love. Such love loves according to its own preference many times. Natural love loves because it perceives something that attracts or pleases us in the object of our love. It's a natural love. And that's very basic. It's not necessarily wrong, but it's less than it can be. Then there is also a dutiful love, or a love of duty, or out of duty. This love springs from that sense of our duty to to love. So out of often duty, we'll strive. Oh my, well, I'm going to leave that go for a moment. We'll love by duty because we're expected to. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to love. Well, Jesus commands, love thy neighbor as thyself. And we'll see in a little bit how he raises that standard. But he commands, love thy neighbor as thyself in the Gospels. Matthew 19, verse 19 for one place. So out of duty then, we set our mind that we're going to love each other. We're going to love each other. And sincerely, we'll give our effort to that, a great effort to that. And again, often out of that duty that is ours. And we enter into the responsibility with an honest and with a true longing to love, to love each other. And we get to the place where we'll resolve, what I'm going to love if kills me. Well, it just might. Might blow a gasket or something. We grow weary. And that burden begins to enter in. It grows heavy even on it. And in short order, guess what? We fail in this sacred task. I call it a sacred task because it's a task that is modeled by the Lord Jesus Christ and then his calling upon us to love each other. There is a natural love. There is a dutiful love. But there's a third kind of love, and we could even break this down. We understand. Don't make me describe what we're not talking about today, but at least a third kind of love, and it's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the command of God, is indeed for us to love thy neighbor as thyself because it's the right thing to do. But believe it or not, that command to love one another as thyself began in the law of Moses. We wouldn't think such words would be found in that old dried law. But indeed, in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, we find those very words, love thy neighbor as thyself. And again, in the law, it was given to us as duty, as a duty. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came and he walked amongst humanity, he raised that standard. Yes, indeed. Earlier, he gave that commandment to love one another. But he raised that standard of love. His word to us, as we read a moment ago, a new commandment I give unto you. And what did he say? That you love one another. Yes. That you love one another. How? As I have loved you, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. My. He raised the standard from duty. He raised the standard of loving thy neighbor as thyself because our love at best is an imperfect love. It's a blemished love. To loving each other the way he loved us. And oh my, that's the love we need to learn. That's the love that we need to understand. And so as we look at this, we want to learn to love as Christ loved. As Christ loved, as he loves us now. And we see in this that we do understand that the Bible teaches us that we are to love in truth. There's truth involved here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that chapter we referred to earlier, in the sixth verse, it says, charity rejoiceth in the truth. Charity, or this Christ-like love, rejoices in truth. In the truth. Well, there's the reality that Christ-like love has 20/20 vision. We'll look at this a little bit. Stick with me. Christ-like love has 20/20 vision. When we think of 20/20 vision, I mean, that's great. That's good, isn't it? That's the great. I mean, you know, with these, I get close to that. 20/20 vision in truth. You know the old cliche, the old saying, love is blind. love is blind. Now that can be true of a natural love, but it's not the idea of a Christ-like love. Stick with me. It's not the idea of a Christ-like love. Divine love, Christ-like love, loves through a lens of truth. It's interesting. And again, your wheels might be turning, but stick with me. Natural love loves expecting to be loved back. Natural love loves expecting to be loved in return. That's not the case with divine love. Natural love might be blind to the warts. You say, oh my, that's a terrible thing to say, preacher. Natural love might be blind to the warts, and we're not talking about physical warts. We're talking about those warts that we all have. Those warts of personality and all the rest that comes with the package. Natural love might be blind to the warts, but you see, Christ-like love sees the warts and loves in spite of them. Christ-like love loves irregardless of the warts, of those blemishes that each and every one of us possesses. Wow. Christ-like love, and this is the bottom line here, Christ-like love loves unconditionally. We understand that. The whole picture of grace, God giving us what? What we don't deserve. Him giving us His favor, His goodness, all that you and I experience in and through the Lord Jesus Christ is on the basis of His grace, His gracious expression of love towards us. Certainly, we could apply that, or that application could be made from probably the first verse that most of us or many of us memorize. From John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God, or because God. For God so loved the world. He loved in such a way. He loved the world unconditionally. Did the world deserve His love? Absolutely not. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. In spite of our unlovableness, our unloveliness, God still gave His Son for us. Still sacrificed His Son for us, that through faith in Him we might be delivered from our sin. Christ-like love has 20/20 vision and truth. But not only that, Christ-like love speaks the truth. Speaks the truth. Now, we're familiar with the words from Paul's letter to the Ephesian church in chapter 4 in verse 15 that says this. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Well, that's good. True love must have a foundation. We need to have the right foundation if it's going to be a Christ-like love. It must have something to rest upon. Christ-like love must have something to rest upon. And it rests upon the truth. The truth. Stick with me. It must rest upon the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. His truth. I do no one any good if I ignore the truth. Stick with me. Please, simply to avoid hurting their feelings. We as Christians are susceptible to this. We understand someone that's saved, they desire to be gracious, they desire to be kind, and that's all right. It's all true. But we also must be truthful. Stick with me, please. I don't want to lose anybody in this because it's so important. True love will speak the truth as such. True love must be spoken in a Christ-like love. In a Christ-like love. This verse, beloved, that I've heard folks quote just after lambasting somebody. You know what you mean? You know what the word lambaste means? Laying into them. And then they'll say something, well, I was just telling them the truth, and then they'll tack on in love. Really? Really? My Sunday school class, we've been talking about how to study the Bible. And we're emphasizing that as you study your Bible, you need to study those whatever passage it is in the context of the passage. What's said before? What's said after? And we can't isolate those words in Ephesians chapter 4 to concerning speaking the truth in love. They can't just isolate those words. The whole passage, that fourth chapter, talks about how the body of Christ builds itself and edifies itself and strengthens itself as we each function in that place and role that the Lord has given to us. We just read verse 15 of that passage. In the 16th verse, the very next verse, it speaks of how the body edifies itself in love. Again, what's that talking about? Building up, not tearing down. So the love, our love for each other is based on truth. But it's a truth that finds its foundation in the love of Christ. As I see my brother and sister, whatever struggle, whatever battle they may be dealing with, what am I to remember? Christ loved them. Christ gave his life for them. Christ bled and died for them. Who am I to be tearing them down? There is a foundation to a Christ-like love, and it's in his sacrifice. And yes, indeed, a commitment to the truth, even the truth in love, may cost us at times. Most of all, most all of us could testify to that. Most all of us have experienced something along this line. There's been times in my life and in my ministry that a commitment to the truth has caused a rift between myself and people I love. People I care about. People I care about. Dear old pastor, friend of mine, he's been with the Lord now for, probably 25 years. His name was Frank McGuire, big mountain of a man. And I remember him saying this as if it was yesterday. But he said as he preached and even around the table, talking to us, believe it or not, guys, us young preachers. I was a one young preacher once. And he said to us, guys, you've got to stick with the truth. You got to stand in the truth, a commitment to truth. And he says, I've lost friends of a lifetime over truth. We can't compromise the truth. But we also understand that in Christ, his love, that foundation of his love for each and every one of us that he died for, is a foundation of a bond that should not be allowed to be broken. That even when someone must speak to me the truth in love, I'm able to receive it in love. And of course, that we're able to share it in love. Oh my. Wow. We see that we're to love in truth, but Christ-like love is a giving love. Christ-like love is self-giving. Self-giving. It's the extent of what true love is. Extent of true love. True love loves all the way to death. True love loves all the way to death. In a sense, natural love is a love unto death. That is the death of the love. Natural love will love as long as the object of our love is what we expect it to be. As long as the object of our love in a natural love lives up to that expectation, then everything is fine. But something changes in the relationship, and the love changes also. How many friendships, how many relationships, how many marriages end that way? I just don't love her anymore. I don't love him anymore. Really? What do we say about a Christ-like love? It's what kind of love? It's an unconditional love. An unconditional love. Relationships that for years were loving and kind and giving, suddenly there's something happens. Some wound is inflicted. Something takes place in some form. And what appeared to be a loving relationship turns that relationship into bitterness and anger, sometimes hatred, such as the death of a natural love. A love unto death. In a natural sense, that love lasts as long as what? That natural love lives. Would Jesus Christ, let me ask you a question. Would the Lord Jesus Christ left his place in glory? Would he left the portals of that place that is his Father's right hand to come to this earth planet and live and die for us if it was only a natural love that he had for us? No. Because, beloved, there's nothing lovely about us. There is nothing about us that would anyway earn a natural love. You see, we see the sacrifice of true love. In John 15, in verse 13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this." What is that love? That a man lay down his life for his friends. And a man would lay down his life for his friends. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, it says that verse says that Jesus loved us. It says that he loved us and washed us from his sin, from our sins, in his blood. It's a sacrificial love. The Lord Jesus, out of his love for us, now mindful, he calls us his friends. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, calls you and I his friends. And he indeed laid down his life for his friends. You see, his love, Christ-like love, was a love unto death. Unto death. Not the natural death. Huh. It's one thing to say, "I'll love you till I die." That's admirable. "I will love you until I die." It's an altogether different love to love you even if I have to die for that love. It's a different love. Where do I learn such love? Where do I learn such love? And the only place I can learn that love is from the Lord Jesus Christ. I can only learn that from him. There's no other place else we can find it. He loved us. He loved unto death. Unto death. Christ so loved you that he was ready and he was willing to lay down his life for you. He died for us. Out of his love, he sacrificed himself on our behalf for us. Beloved, that's love. That's love. Out of his love, he died. That's the love. Are you listening? That is the kind of love that we learn from him. What did he say in John 13, 34? He called upon us to love each other. How? The way he loved us. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it? Huh? That's a tall order. It's a bond, beloved, as we said at the very beginning. we can struggle with. I understand. I'll use myself as the example here, okay? I understand I'm not too lovable. I understand who and what I am. And yet Jesus' words to us are to love unlovable people the way he loved unlovable people. He loved us unto his death, his sacrificial death for us. Wow. You know, out of amazing duty, I was thinking about this the other day, out of amazing duty, the men that protect, I guess there's women involved too, forgive me for being, I'll use that word generically. Out of duty, the men that protect our president, they take on the willingness, they accept the responsibility to take a bullet for the president. Whoever that president is, doesn't matter. They make that commitment to step in front of a bullet for the president. What was I considering that? The Lord Jesus Christ stepped in front of that bullet for us. He accepted joyfully, Hebrews says, the cross for us. He died paying the wages of our sin, the debt that we owed. He stepped in our place and went to the cross for us. Wow. When he died for sin. Not out of duty. Out of love. But we also see that this love that the Bible talks about is an obedient love. It is an obedient love. And in 1 John chapter 5 in verse 2, John writes there, and of course he's the man that had penned those words in the 13th chapter of his gospel. In his first letter in the 5th chapter, the 2nd verse, he says, By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now it seems like that statement is kind of turned around, but we see what John's trying to say to us. Number one, he's saying you can know that you love man right when you love God right. And you'll love God right when you're obedient to him. And when you're obedient to him, guess what? We'll love each other. It comes around. So there is an obedience involved here. Here again, we find that link, though, between truth and the love of Christ. In the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, in the 15th verse, Jesus asks a question. More than a question. It's a question stated with an obvious answer, that rhetorical question. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Hopefully you can declare, yes, I do. Well, what's the fruit of that? What's the manifestation of our love for him? Obedience to his word. So there is this matter that love is indeed obedient, but it's a loving obedience. It's an obedience that comes out of love. Obedience is to be found in those that love their God. And from it comes a willing desire to obey him and to be found in that place where we are pleasing him out of our love for him. You know, I read this story, and I have referred to it over the years, but I wanted to share it again. There's a story of a dear wife. Story of this wife that was married to a harsh, mean, demanding man. A man whom she did not truly love. Her husband demanded that she would be out of bed at 5 in the morning and have his breakfast prepared and on the table specifically at 6 a.m. He had a long list of this and that she was to have done. And everything in her life was centered around fulfilling his will and his desires. It was exacting in its demands on every moment of her time. Her life was made miserable trying to satisfy the requests of her husband. Well, finally, the old dude died. It was a few years later that the dear lady married again. This time, she married a man that loved her. That loved her truly, and she loved him. And one day along the way, she was cleaning some old boxes out and going through some papers, and she found that old list that her cruel first husband had prepared for her. And she started reading down through that list, and you know, it was up at 5, breakfast at 6, and again, the whole list of things, a list of demands that he had on her. And suddenly she stopped, and she was thinking about that list, and she realized something. She realized that she was fulfilling that list with her new husband. But not out of duty, not out of demand, but out of her love for him. It's a different world, beloved. It's a different world. We learn love from Christ. And the love that we learn from Christ is not a self-seeking love. It's not self-satisfying. But there is a loving, self-giving in a Christ-like love. John the Baptist loved the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know that? Because of it, how it was evidenced in his life and ministry. How it was evidenced in John. When John's followers started leaving him and following the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't upset. In fact, he encouraged them. He was happy for them. There wasn't any envy. There wasn't any jealousy involved. No. His words indeed, in fact, were he, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he must increase that I must decrease. John understood this kind of love. What are our friendships? What are our relationships, beloved, based upon? They're based upon those mutual likes and dislikes, maybe some similar interests. And I understand that those things have their place, as we might find someone that a relationship would be possible with. But every relationship in our lives can be revolutionized when we love as Christ loved. Every relationship. You know, Marcia and I, we've been married for 46 years. I almost said something different. 46 years we've been married. She's in the kitchen now helping out. I'm saying, 46 years. Remember, I remember. We weren't Christians when we got married. When we got married 46 years ago, it was pretty much a natural love. She's beautiful then as she is now. And I loved her. But then about 2 or 3 years after we got married, we both got saved. And along the way, the Lord started changing that love. He started enhancing that love. And that love that was once a natural love. I'm like, you don't survive 46 years without having something more than just a natural love. That love became more and more beautiful along the way. Because that love is not merely a love, a natural love or a dutiful love. It becomes something that the Lord Jesus Christ makes ever more beautiful, ever more wonderful, as it becomes more like Him. A Christ-like love. Wow. Well, just a question as we close. Why does it seem, and I'm using this as a very general statement, okay? Why do we love so little? We're living in a world that needs more love. There's no question about that. It's a cruel world we're living in. It's a world where there's so much hate. Huh? So much anger. A little love. A little kindness. A little generosity. A little Christ-likeness. From you and I who claim Christ. Could indeed make a difference. But why do we love so little? Why is it that even God's people, even God's people who are the blessed recipients of His love, seem to struggle with this thing? I was somewhere yesterday, and Jeffrey always gets a kick out of this. I was somewhere yesterday driving in traffic, and I was trying to get in a parking lot. I mean, why would that be such a difficult thing? I just wanted to cross over and get in the parking lot. And the traffic coming the other way, they was coming down the other road, and they're pulling in the parking lot. I'm thinking, just let me in. I mean, I'd let you in if it was turned around. You know, I'm trying to talk to them, but they weren't listening. But why? I mean, we see it all the time. We hear about it, do we not, on the evening news about some crazy road rage thing where people are getting out of the car and they're ready to go to the Dukes. Huh? What would be the difference if we just show a little Christ-like love? Some kindness. Let me out, okay, folks? Generosity. Compassion. Being like Jesus. Being like the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider how much He loves us. Huh? I'm challenged. We got a afternoon. We're going to have lunch. We're going to have an afternoon service. No evening service this evening. So when you get to the house, just think about it. Consider how much Jesus loves you. How much God loves you. Let it soak in. He loved you what? In spite of you. Did you hear that? He loved you in spite of you. He did not love you because of you. Because of who you are or what you are. He loves us in spite of us. In spite of our ugliness of our sin, our iniquities, all that. He loves in spite of us. And you and I have been the recipients of that love, that unconditional, sacrificial, eternal love. Would we consider that a little bit? Think about it, how much He loves us. And might we plead to be more like Him? I could stand to be more like Jesus, folks. The Apostle Paul understood this thing, and he says in Colossians, he's writing that letter to the church in Colossae, and in chapter 3, in verses 12 to 14, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, put on, and the idea of those words, put on, is to be clothed, to cover yourself. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. We could use that. Put on that, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. I don't know, there's something about that word. We could say patience. I guess the new translations will use the word patience. I like that word, long-suffering. Aren't you thankful God suffers long with you? I sure am. Long-suffering, forbearing one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, you got a quarrel with somebody? If any man have a quarrel against even as, or in the same way, Christ forgave you, so also do you. You know, there's times I would like to tore that paper out, that page out of my Bible. I don't want to. Let's be honest. But Christ loved me. Christ loved me. Sacrificially, unconditionally, eternally. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And then he says, above all this, above all these things, put on charity, that Christ-like love. Put on charity, which is the bond or the binding of perfectness, the completion of it all. A Christ-like love is at the root of it all. Beloved, we will find the greatest fulfillment, the greatest joy, the greatest blessing as you and I learn this love from Christ. You know, there haven't been a whole lot of amens today. You know why? Because I don't think I'm the only one that struggles with this. You know what it makes me the most ashamed? Is that even a way? I know that's bad grammar. Shames me the most. Is that better? Is when some lost person that I meet out somewhere is kinder and more loving and gracious than I am. Amen. Shames me. Shouldn't ought to be, should it? Not if I'm emulating, not if I'm manifesting the love of the one who loved me so. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, help us to love as the Lord Jesus Christ loved. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, we ask you, we pray in Jesus' name. There's no other name, Father, to come before you in. We come to you today pleading with you, asking you, Lord, help us in this. To love you as you've loved us. To love our brothers, our sisters in Christ, to love this world as you love this world. Father, I confess, it's hard. It's hard for me. I fear it's hard for most of us. Lord, I'm praying that as we would study Jesus, as we would allow him to fill us with himself, as we would study him, that we would become more and more and more like our wonderful Savior. Lord, I pray for folks within this room, Lord, that every Christian would be more like Christ with every day we live. But I also pray for anyone here today that's not saved. Father, I pray that you'd be pleased to enter in and pick up where we fall down. Where I fail, Father, please hold up your Son. That even in this hour, there might be folks that would see the Lord Jesus Christ in His great love wherewith He loved us. That indeed, Father, we only love You because You first loved us. So, Father, today, draw to Yourself. Draw the lost to Yourself. Draw those in this room today that need to be saved, need to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. But also, Father, please deal with hearts and lives in this room. Each one, every one of us, or we fail in this matter of our love for You, our love for others. And Lord, we will give You glory. We will give You the honor for what You will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother John.
Page 543.
As we sing, beloved, these altars are open. Maybe you just want to come and pray, seek the Lord's face about something on your heart. Please, you're invited to do that. Maybe you're here today and you realize that you are yet without Christ. The reason that you struggle so hard with this matter of love is you don't have the person of love living in you, in Jesus Christ. I invite you to come, take this preacher by the hand and say, "Preacher, I just want to know I'm saved. I want to know where I'll spend eternity." And we'll do our best to point you to Jesus. Please obey the Lord. Please do what He'd have you to do today. Again, these altars are open, Brother John.
I gave my life for Thee, my precious blood I shed, that Thou mightst ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for Thee. What hast Thou given for me? I gave my life for Thee. What hast Thou given for me? My love, Father's house of light, my glory circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wanderings sad and lone. I left it all for Thee. Hast Thou left aught for me? I left it all for Thee. Hast Thou left aught for me?
Amen. Amen. Is anybody planning to eat today? I would say probably it's safe to say that everybody in this room is going to eat today, sometime, somewhere. So you might as well just stay here and eat, right? Might as well just stick around. I knowing this crowd, I am confident that there's a lot of good food to be found just a couple hundred yards away. So please stay with us and share lunch together, and we'll have an afternoon service when we all are fed up. You say, what time will that be? Well, it depends on how fast you get fed up. And anyway, it's great. I struggle preaching today. This is a tough subject for yours truly. As I understand my flesh, the flesh still has a big hold on me. I don't know about you. Maybe you can deliver it. I tend to think you probably struggle with it too. Oh, Lord, help us to be like Jesus. I so want to be like Jesus. Brother John, you know what you're supposed to do? Brother John always gets the duty of praying the Lord's blessing on our lunch and dismissing us in a chorus. Not necessarily in that order. Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer, and then we can sing as we go that way. How's that? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your loving kindness to us. We thank you for your wonderful, unconditional love. And though you know that we're going to fail you and err and sin, you still are willing to forgive us if we confess those sins. We thank you so much, Lord, that you're a forgiving and merciful God. Lord, we just ask that you'll bless the remainder of the day. Thank you so much for Pastor preaching that. We love Pastor Turner. We just pray that you'll bless him, be with him, Miss Marcia, and encourage them and strengthen them and do for them as they do for us, Lord. We just ask that you'll bless the remainder of the afternoon, the food and the time of fellowship and the singing. May your perfect will be done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.